first five verses of this chapter. This chapter kind of really dives into this kind of the two gifts of the speaking in tongues and a gift of prophecy. And as Paul has been looking in chapter 12, we saw the fact that, you know, the gifts and all the diversity of gifts that that God can give to his church and to his people. And then in chapter 13, he spoke specifically about love and how that rides over all things, even over the gifts. We have to do all of these things with a heart of love, an attitude of love. And so it's so important. And then as we get into chapter 14, he's dealing with an issue in the church at Corinth where they were more, I don't know if you want to say, more excited about the gift of speaking in tongue than they were about any other gift. It kind of elevated itself to this thing that, oh, if you spoke in tongues, you were, you know, super spiritual. And we see that still today in the church. We see that people that speak in tongues, it's almost like this, I don't know, this badge that they were, oh, I speak in a tongue. And it's like, wow. When we look at it biblically and understand it biblically, we understand that the gift of tongues is given for a specific purpose, a specific reason, and we'll look at it as we look at these verses and who it's supposed to encourage. And I think that's important to have the gift of tongues. But it's also, Paul will say, more important to have the gift of prophecy, to be the gift to edify and to encourage and to correct and to speak into people's lives. And how important it is. And as I step back, even as I was worshiping this morning, I look out at the churches in the world today, and I look and I say, where is the Holy Spirit? Where is the power of the Holy Spirit? When was the last time you heard someone speak in a tongue? When was the last time you heard someone prophesy? When was the last time you heard someone give a word of knowledge, a word of encouragement, or have the gift of faith? All of these things. Where is that in the church today? This is what's happened. Certain denominations, certain churches have taken the gifts and they've made them weird. Right? They've taken them to a place that's unbiblical so that those that have biblical understanding and foundations are kind of like, wow, we want to back away from those things because we don't want to be brought into the crowd. Pastor Chuck Smith said that many years ago. He backed away when the Pentecostal movement kind of got the gifts of the Spirit getting all out of order inside the church. And he backed away from it. But it's so important to submit ourselves to the gifts of the Holy Spirit. And as we study this chapter, again, just a little bit this morning and more next week, but it's like, God, give us the gifts of the Spirit. Anoint us, Lord. Let us be open to that. Let us be willing to be used with the gifts of the Spirit and not in a weird way. Do you have a prayer language? Have you ever spoken in a tongue? Man, it's an amazing thing. And when I received my gift of speaking in tongues and praying in a tongue, man, I was so blessed by it because it was my spirit speaking and praying to God in a more effective way. You ever have that in your life where you needed the words, you just didn't know how to pray a specific way? You needed instruction, you didn't know how to ask God? You know, Pastor Chuck would always say, many times people would come up and say, oh, Pastor Chuck, could you pray for my new job or this job interview I'm going on this week? And Pastor Chuck would always say to himself, how do I know that it's God's will for this person to have this job? We need the Spirit to understand that, to discern that, because we want to ask according to the Spirit. We want to ask according to God's word, and we don't want to ask against God's will. Isn't that your heart? You want to ask according to God's will. Well, we need people speaking in tongues, to be encouraged, as we'll see, because it's a personal thing between you and God alone. Again, the church at Corinth, they abused the gift. They misused the gift. But when the gift is used, it's a beautiful thing. And so that's what we're going to look at this morning. Chapter 14, he gets to the problem of disruption in the church services. That's where Paul is really kind of focusing. When you guys gather together as a body of believers, do it decently and in order, not separating or causing division in the church, but bringing unity. And I would pray that all of us would say, Lord, give me a gift that I could use that would bless someone else in the church. Yes, you want to be blessed, right? You come to church because you want God's blessings upon your life. but do you also come to be a blessing? How important that is in the church today, especially as we see the return of Jesus Christ coming so closely. We need to be ready and to encourage one another in the things that we're going through. Let's look at verse 1, chapter 14. He says, pursue love and desire spiritual gifts, but especially that you may prophesy. For he who speaks in a tongue does not speak to men, but to God. For no one understands him. However, in the Spirit, he speaks mysteries. But he who prophesies speaks edification and exhortation and comfort to men. He who speaks in a tongue edifies himself, but he who prophesies edifies the church. I wish you all spoke with tongues, but even more that you prophesy. For he who prophesies is greater than he who speaks with the tongue, unless indeed he interprets, that the church may receive edification. Give me your attention. Again, these are the verses that we're going to look at. And real briefly, so that we have time for communion. And I believe this communion can be extra special because here's this time that we're going to spend to remember what Jesus did for us, but also be reminded that Jesus left his Holy Spirit here and for the church so that we can be gifted by the Spirit to encourage one another. Again, chapter 13, we saw it last week, all spoke about love and the importance of love over all other things. You can be super, super spiritual, but if you're not operating in love, Paul said back in chapter 13, it means nothing. You just make a lot of noise. So the heart of love is always more important. And so as he connects chapter 13 with chapter 14, because realize, Paul didn't write chapters. He just wrote this one big letter. So in chapter 14, we connect to chapter 13 by Paul saying, pursue love. Pursue love. That's Paul's first instruction to a church that's doing things out of order when it comes to the gifts of the Spirit. He's saying, I need you to pursue love. The word pursue means to go after with the desire to obtain. To go after something with a, excuse me, with a desire to obtain that thing that you're going after. And Paul says, I want you to pursue love. If there's one thing we can all be doing, and that is pursuing love more. Don't you agree? Having a heart of love, not the critical spirit, but the spirit of love. Not the critical eye, but the eye that wants to help and come alongside. So all of these things, and even as we're getting into this chapter on tongues and prophecy, Paul says love is the most important thing. Your love for God and your love for other people. Wouldn't you agree we could all use a little bit more of that? A little bit more love in our families, in our churches, in our workplaces, in our homes, you know, with strangers, with family. Love. So above all things, if you walk away here today looking, listening to nothing else but to go out and to pursue love in your life, I think you'll be honoring the Lord. You'll be honoring him because Jesus came with that heart of love, right? He came to show the world that there's a way to get to God. And that's through love. So pursuing love is so important. And then he says, so pursue love and desire spiritual gifts. So there has to be this desire in your life for the things of the Spirit. Would you say if you had to look at your typical day or even a typical week, would you say you have more flesh in your life or more spirit in your life? Anybody want to give a testimony? No. So much of us are flesh. So to think this week, and even this day, to think, God, I'm going to desire spiritual gifts. I want those. There should be a desire because I believe in the church today, there's a kind of a stay away from the gifts. They're weird, right? I remember the first time I heard someone speak in a tongue, I was like, I got to get out of here. Right? I didn't understand it. I didn't know what it was. It sounded weird. So I didn't have an understanding of it. But when you have an understanding of it, isn't it a beautiful thing? I can remember praying with people in our church many years ago. And there was a woman in our church that had a you know, she was able to speak in a tongue and pray in a tongue. And it was the most beautiful thing whenever I heard it. But to younger believers, they think it's weird. No, no, no. Desire spiritual and desire to have, as Paul said there at the end, I wish you all spoke in a tongue. I wish everybody did. But if we do it properly, it's a blessing to your life personally. Nothing greater, I think, than to be able to speak and to pray in a heavenly language, if you will, connecting to God in his spirit. So desire, spiritual gifts. If you look at the last verse in chapter 12, Paul said, but earnestly desire the best gift. And back when we looked at that in chapter 12 a few weeks back, we reminded ourselves the best gift is the gift you need today or the gift that person that you're trying to talk to needs. So desire those things. Ask God for those things. Ask God to do those things and just make ourselves available to God moving through us. Wouldn't it be amazing if all of us operated in the gift of a spirit and did it in a way that God was honored by it? How encouraged we'd be. How strengthened we'd be. Because that, to me, displays God's presence here. Right? It manifests it. It's the physical part. We all know that God's here, right? We all know that the Holy Spirit is here, right? Because he dwells in our hearts and dwells in our lives. And when we gather together, the Spirit is here and God is listening in on us. But to see the manifestation of the Spirit, what an amazing thing. Not too long before service started, there was a gentleman in our church who's over in the garage and he's bent over sideways because his back is spasming and having difficulties in his back. And we got to lay hands on him and pray for him. Was he immediately healed? No. But if someone had the gift of healing at that time, that man could be healed. We have to have the gift of faith to believe that God can do that. What are the needs in this room? I wonder, in the spiritual realm, what are the needs in your life that maybe someone else in this room, being submitted to the Holy Spirit, might be able to meet that need or minister to that need? We should desire spiritual gifts. And he goes on, pursue love, desire spiritual gifts, but especially that you may prophesy. Again, he's speaking to the church of Corinth, but it applies to us today. Listen, desire the spiritual gifts, but especially the gift of prophecy. The gift of prophecy. Paul talked about all the gifts in chapter 12 as they related to each other. And here he's speaking about specifically tongues and prophecy. And prophecy is so important. But in the church of Corinth and in other churches, there's an overemphasis on the gift of tongues, speaking in tongues, and on the gift of prophecy. And Paul says very clearly, the gift of prophecy is the most important. The gift that encourages another person. The gift that hears from God and to speak into that person's life or into the life of a church to encourage them, for listening to the things of God. What does it mean for someone to prophesy? Because there are people out there that call themselves prophets, and they think they claim that they speak for God. I do believe that there is a gift of prophecy, but I don't know that there's actually the place of a prophet. I think we're all just God's kids willing to be used by him. See, the gift of prophecy is one where God speaks down to his church and encourages the church, which is what we read. When legendary football coach Bear Bryant directed the Alabama Crimson Tide, not a college football guy, I read this, he observed the practices from a tower overlooking the field. He trusted his coaches. He trusted the playbook. And as long as everything went fine, he didn't say a thing. But when Bear Bryant saw something that he wanted to address, he would pull out a bullhorn from up in that tower and yell it down onto the field. He was giving instruction to his team. In the same way, God, through prophecy, looks down at the church, watching how we operate, watching how we go through the scriptures, watching how we take instruction from the Holy Spirit. And when God sees something that needs to be addressed, that's when the gift of prophecy comes down and is spoken to an individual for the edification of the church. It's God's bullhorn. If there's anything the church, not our church, the church, which includes us, needs its instruction from God. Wouldn't you agree? Do you need God's instruction in your life? Do you need to hear a word from the Lord? How many of us, when we're praying for needs in our lives or the lives of our loved ones or someone we care about, Lord, let me ask properly. God, speak to my heart so that I might be encouragement to someone. Just yesterday, I was talking to a dear brother in our church. And he was sharing with me the things that were going on in his life and how long it had been before he finally heard from the Lord. And finally, the answer started to unravel for the things that were going on in his life. And it had been a long time. Ever pray for a long time for something in your life? And you think, God, why do I have to wait so long? We all have those prayers. And as this person was sharing what was going on for of all that time of discouragement, finally feeling that encouragement and seeing God's hand and God's work, I felt impressed upon myself from God. I honestly don't get it a lot, but I felt like God wanted me to encourage this individual and just say, God has always been at work in your situation. You are now finally seeing the fruit of it. And God has allowed it for a long time. So that you would recognize his hand when the answer started to come. And that's a hard thing for us, isn't it? We want everything answered right now. Change my circumstances now, God. We know God could, right? He can do anything. He can change your circumstances right now, right? If you don't have enough money for your mortgage and it's due tomorrow, guess what? There could be money in your mailbox. God can do that. But when it comes at a time when we think, oh, Lord, why did you delay? We have to understand that God is always trying to teach us something, right? Trying to show us something. The principle of the gifts of the Spirit is that it's important that we pursue love, desire gifts, but have a desire to hear from God. Because we must desire those things. Is my title up there? Okay, good. Because there has to be this heart inside of every one of us. And for most of us who've grown up in the church, maybe you've witnessed the manifestation of the gifts, and it was a beautiful thing. And many of us today are wondering, where is the manifestation of the Spirit today? And listen, it doesn't have to be sensational, right? God can use you when you pray for someone. God can use you when you encourage someone. It can be that simple. But I feel like the closer the return of Jesus Christ becomes, the more dependent we must be on hearing from God so that we can respond properly in the days that we're living, because we're the ones that are supposed to give the encouragement in the last days. We're the ones that are able to give the hope that Jesus is still on his throne. God is still in control. That's what we have to have in our lives. Amos 3:8, Old Testament. It says, a lion has roared. Who will not fear? The Lord God has spoken. Who can but prophesy? You read the book of Amos. I mean, it's amazing how God was looking down on the people and he was not pleased. And he was speaking. And in this verse, a lion has roared. It's like God is roaring. God is commanding down instruction. And it says, who but cannot prophesy the things that we hear? The danger in the church today is we're afraid we're going to say something wrong. You ever think that? God puts something on your heart that you're supposed to share with someone, and you're like, well, what if I'm wrong? Why is it we go there? Why don't we stay in that place? What if God's right? What if God's right? To be able to be there and to speak into someone's circumstances that God just revealed to you. Again, get yourself out of the way. God just shared this with me. This is all God, not me. And this is what has happened. It was many, many years ago. My wife was at a ladies' conference. And at the end of the conference, my wife was one of the prayer counselors, and people would come forward and they would pray for them. And as this one young girl had come forward, my wife was praying for her, and she just kept seeing as she's praying for this girl the word forgiveness, forgiveness, forgiveness. And she kept not necessarily ignoring it, but she was like, what is that? I don't understand what that is. And she just kept praying for the girl. And then at the end of the prayer, she looked at the girl and she said, I've never had this before. She said, but I just keep seeing the word forgiveness. As soon as my wife said the word forgiveness, this girl just started tearing up. Because about an hour earlier, she was in the bathroom and she was questioning whether God forgave her of something that she had done many years ago. And she was asking God, am I really forgiven for that? And for my wife to be able to, in obedience, say, I just keep seeing the word forgiveness, that's a move of God, because God sees the heart of that person in need. So don't doubt. It's okay to be wrong, right? I mean, worst thing, my wife goes, I just keep seeing the word forgiveness. And the person goes, I don't know what that means. What harm? What, you know, no big deal. But if my wife had not said something, that person may not have gone away encouraged. May not have known that God hears your cries. That's when you're being moved by the Spirit and operated by the Spirit. And Amos says, you know what? God sometimes roars. And I tell that to God. I go, God, use a blowhorn. Make it very obvious. Use a big piece of wood. Get it in my hard head. Speak clearly to me. But you know what the Word of God says? Sometimes he's a still, small voice. Sometimes he's whispering. And sometimes the noise of the world and the noise of our sin keep us from hearing that still, small voice. That's why we must find times to get away and to be quiet before God and say, Lord, just speak to me. Do you ever do that? Do you ever just take time to get away, sit in your car, go to a park, go for a walk, and just turn everything off and just say, God, I want you to speak to me. Wow. I believe if we would ask, he would speak. And we really got to let the volume of the world go down before we can clearly hear God speak. Paul says, especially desire prophecy. Especially desire hearing from the Lord. Do you know how encouraging it would be to your spouse if you came home one day and said, I really feel like the Lord has impressed on me that this is what we're to do? Do you know how encouraged they'd be? You know how blessed? Whoa, God's speaking. Let's get the flesh out of the way. Let's believe that God can do that, because that's what Paul is saying here. Believe in it. Believe in it. Paul explains more about this idea of prophecy in verse 2. He says, for he who speaks in a tongue does not speak to men, but to God. Interesting, isn't it? Paul says, listen, you're using the gift of tongues and you're doing it to one another, saying, oh, this is a word from God to you. But Paul says, listen, speaking in a tongue is between you and the Lord. It's that time where words cease to make any sense, and you just begin to speak in a tongue and pray in a tongue to God. It's your spirit praying to the Lord, right? Romans 8:26, probably you know this verse. Likewise, the Spirit also helps in our weaknesses, for we do not know what we should pray for as we ought, but the Spirit himself makes intercession for us with groanings which cannot be uttered. Words we don't understand. But we understand our spirit knows and speaks to God. I know several people in this room that have the gift of praying in a tongue. And I know how blessed they are that they have that. We need to use these things. We need to use this gift to edify ourselves, because we're edifying God and speaking to God. With the gift of tongues, the speaker is addressing God, not men. That's how the church gets it out of order. And we're going to see it more as we go through the rest of this chapter. There's times when you can speak in a tongue, and hopefully there's someone with an interpretation. But it has to be done in order. And Paul says, listen, you want order in a tongue? It's between you and God. So you've got something you've got to ask God for that you don't know how to ask. Ask God for the gift of tongues and just be able to pray in the Spirit for the Lord. Interestingly enough, in Acts chapter 2, when the Holy Spirit was poured out on the church, and remember, they went out and they were speaking in all kinds of different tongues. Look at what it says here in Acts 2:11. It says, Cretans and Arabs, we hear them speaking in our own tongues the wonderful works of God. The tongues that were exercised at Pentecost were the apostles lifting their voices to God, praying to God, and praising God. It was that direction, not a word coming down from God for someone. It was going to the Lord. They were praising God. So when we speak in a tongue, we're blessing God. In chapter 11 of Acts, same thing. For they heard them speak with tongues and magnified God. That direction. Prophecy comes down from God to us. Speaking in tongues goes from us up to the heart of God. Because we want to ask properly and accordingly. If this is misunderstood, it gets all crazy in the church. We have to understand it, we have to exercise it, and we have to desire these things. It's praise, it's prayer, and it's communication to the Lord. You want to pray prayers that are effective, fervent, effective prayers that don't bounce off the ceiling? Pray in the Spirit. Pray in the Spirit. Ask God to give you that gift and pray in the Spirit. It's going to be weird at first, but I'm telling you, it's a powerful thing. He goes on. He says, for he who speaks in a tongue does not speak to men, but to God, for no one understands him. However, in the Spirit, he speaks mysteries. Mysteries to the person who's speaking. We don't understand what we're saying. When I speak in a tongue, I have no idea what I'm saying. And it even sounds weird. I was like, sounds like I'm just repeating myself. And there have been those who have tested and recorded them and tried to figure out if it was an actual language, and it's gibberish to them. Paul says very funny, you're speaking mysteries. You're speaking in a language that's a heavenly language. Now, I've heard people say that they've been at meetings where someone spoke in a tongue, there was no interpretation, so no one was edified, only to find out later that the person that was serving them spoke that language and understood perfectly what that person said, and that person was edified and encouraged. What an amazing thing. We don't know. We just not, again, make ourselves available to God to understand that we want to pray effectively to him. Prophecy builds up, stirs up, and cheers people up. Prophecy is always a positive thing. God will never give you a negative word to speak to someone. He might bring you some correction or some instruction to somebody, but he's never going to give you a list of their dirty laundry, because prophecy is supposed to edify the body and edify the church. Verse 3 says, but he who prophesies speaks edification, exhortation, and comfort to men. There it is very clearly. Prophecy will be one of those three things. Edification, which is encouragement. Edification is building up. Exhortation is the encouragement. And then comfort is just coming alongside someone who's having a hard time and to encourage them that God's in control and cheering them up. It's one thing to say, man, I'm here for you, brother. But it's another thing through prophecy or through a word of encouragement to encourage someone with the word of God in the situation that they're going through. And that's what I did with my friend the other day. I reminded them that God was always at work. It didn't feel like it, but God was always at work. It was encouragement because God showed us that. You know, edification and building up is so important in the church today. Don't you feel like in the world we just keep getting beat up and beat down, losing hope? Man, there's always hope for the Christian. I knew a pastor and his wife. They were wanting to have kids, and for 2 years they couldn't have kids. They couldn't get pregnant, I should say. And he actually was a pastor, and you know, his wife said, Lord, why are you not giving us kids? They were at this conference, and at the last day of the conference, the wife went up to someone and said, man, could you just pray? We really want to have kids, but it's just not happening for us. And this person prayed over the girl, and then she looked at her and she goes, God just spoke to me and said, a year from today, you will have a son. Which obviously encouraged her. But do you know, a year later, to almost the exact day, their son was born. That's what God wants to do to encourage us. Again, it's not hocus pocus. It's not, you know, fortune telling. It's just God puts something on your heart, share it. And let it be an encouragement to somebody. How encouraging it is to that pastor and his wife to know God heard their cries, God heard their prayers, and God encouraged them in that season. Instead of allowing them to go another year trying to figure out what's going on. God may do that through you. Let me say this. I need God to speak to you to encourage me and to encourage this church. Don't be a hindrance. Don't stop the blessing coming down from God. If he puts something on your heart, share it, communicate it. It's so, so important. Again, prophecy builds up, it stirs up, and it cheers up. That's what it's all about. Finally, verse 4. He who speaks in a tongue edifies himself. Right? You speak in a tongue, you're encouraged. You're praying to God in a tongue. But he who prophesies edifies the church. I wish you all spoke with tongues, but even more that you prophesied. For he who prophesies is greater than he who speaks with tongues, unless indeed he interprets, that the church may receive edification. I would encourage all of us, when we gather together on Sundays, to come in with a heart of God may use me to encourage someone in the church or the church at large, to share what's God's doing in your life might be the exact thing someone else in this church needs to hear. Whatever circumstances are going on in your life, and God is blessing you, and God is showing you things, share that with people, because they may need to hear that. They may need to hear that encouragement, and that's what we need in these days that we're living in, is to understand and hear the encouragement for God. How amazing would it be? How humbling would it be that if tonight when you're lying in your bed before you go to sleep, you just spend some time and say, God, speak to me. I find I speak to God a lot, but I don't give him a lot of time to speak back to me. Are you like that? No, just me. Okay. And I'm like, Lord, I just want you to speak. I just want you to reveal yourself. And when, like I said, I'm getting ready to go to a pastor's conference, and I'll be able to get to sit in a seat just like you. And I'll be able to hear messages coming from the pulpits from pastors that are anointed to speak a message. I want to hear the voice of God, because God speaks to people in his church. Amen? His word is enough for us. If I walked up here, read 5 verses, and walked away, that should be enough for all of us. My words mean nothing, but his word means everything. And that's what you need in your life. You need God's word. Can you think about the apostles? 3 years spending their life with Jesus, listening to his teachings, watching his mannerisms, seeing his healings, watching him pray. The things that they must have experienced just watching Jesus, how it must have affected their lives. How important that would be, and how important that is in the church today, that we would truly be people that are hearing from God and desiring to live godly lives, to truly desire to live in that way. Paul says, even more, I wish you would prophesy. Tongues are important. Paul is not putting down tongues at all. Again, if you look at the last verse of chapter 14, where is it? Oh, you know, it's not that. It's, I got it here somewhere, sorry. Verse 39, that's it. Therefore, brethren, desire earnestly to prophesy, and do not forbid to speak in tongues. That's the verse. So he's not saying get rid of tongues. He's not. He's saying you need to pray in a tongue because you'll be encouraged. And when you're encouraged, you'll be an encouragement to someone else. But the gift of prophecy is even more important than tongues. And this church had it backwards. We want to be the church that prophesies, that speaks when we hear God speak to us. And not in a weird way. Not to bring attention to self, right? It's always going to be about bringing glory to God. We got to get out of the way. Paul, if you were to ask Paul, the Apostle Paul, what's the most important thing that we could all do in our personal devotional life? He would say, pray in the Spirit, pray in tongue. But what's the most important thing to do when we come together? Boy, speak what God tells you. Speak what God shows you. Some of you in this room have been taking notes because God's been speaking to you. Those notes are very valuable for you, but also for others, to encourage someone in their walk with the Lord. I'm thankful for the men and women in my life that are not afraid to tell me exactly what God's doing in their lives, whether it's all good or if it's even sometimes, excuse me, a bit of a struggle. They share it. They share it because it's an encouragement. Guys, we need to desire spiritual gifts. And I want us to take time on this last chapter and really let it sink in. Because I believe if God would start to speak to us, man, we would see so much more power in our own lives and in the ministry, in the churches that we gather together in. God wants to do that. So as we turn now to our time of communion, I want you to think, God, the gentleman will grab the elements. God, I'm going to hold these elements. I'm going to remember what you did on that cross. I'm going to remember you died for me. But also remember that he is the gift giver. And so maybe during this time, as we hold the elements, we say, Lord, if there's a gift you want to give to me, give it to me. Let me be open to it. Would you pray with me, please? Father, we are grateful for your word. We are thankful for this time as we enter into a time of communion. And we pray, God, that the things that we've just read, though sometimes it seems like they're different, God, I pray that it would become something that becomes more natural to us. Again, to desire speaking in a tongue, to desire speaking a word of prophecy, of encouragement, of edification, of comfort. Because we know when we do, Lord, it'll be nothing but a blessing to ourselves and to others, and certainly to you. So as we pause during this time and we remember the sacrifice you made, dying on that cross for us, let it be a time where we just sit and say thank you. Maybe lift up a prayer. But I would hope in some of our hearts, Lord, that we would truly say we desire the things of the Spirit. Because I believe with all of my heart that the gifts of the Holy Spirit are still present in the church today. So bless us during this time. We want nothing more than to bring glory and honor to you. And it's in your name we pray, Lord Jesus. Amen.